You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello everyone and a warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. Good to have you with us. It is Saturday's edition of the podcast. We'll be on air from about 12:20pm on Saturday. I hope you can join us on Racing Radio for all of the action. We've got Grade 1 racing, of course, at Ascot with the Clarence House Chase. Fingers crossed we'll have Haydock as well. It's a good meeting scheduled there, although at the time of recording, that meeting is in slight jeopardy. They're going to need to pass a precautionary inspection at 7:30am, but fingers crossed for Haydock. We've also got Lingfield, Taunton, Wolverhampton and Navan on the show on Saturday. So hopefully you can join us for all of the action from 12:20. Sam Norris here, joined in the studio on this edition of the podcast by Mr. Craig Forsyth. Craig, how are you?
Yes, all good, Sam. Hopefully, as you say, Haydock avoids the snow on Saturday because they've got a very good competitive card and very much looking forward to Saturday's racing.
Yeah, definitely. Fingers crossed for that. You must have seen plenty of the white stuff up in your part of the world, Craig.
I came to Leeds on Thursday,
yes,
and for at least 30 miles, I never progressed over 30 miles an hour.
Really?
You know, there was no black patches on the road. It was white all the way.
Wow.
I don't think it was forecast either.
Right.
So I don't think there was too much salt down because of that.
Yes.
And it was, let's say we was doing a little bit sliding. And it was a slow trot all the way. We couldn't raise a gallop until we got to Morpeth where, you know, we hit a little bit faster speeds,
yes,
there. But yeah, it was just a reminder, you know, the first real landing of snow this winter, and just a reminder how dangerous it can become quite quickly.
Yes, you made an excellent point though just before we came on here to record the podcast that whether or not we do have racing at Haydock or not tomorrow, hopefully we will, but of course racing on Friday was abandoned at Musselburgh. But as the point you made was, Craig, this is the first meeting we've had abandoned due to cold conditions, and we've not done too bad to get to nearly mid-January.
Yeah, 18th of January,
yes,
and we've lost our first meeting because of frost, and you know, I think that's been brilliant,
yeah,
the way the weather's been in terms of meetings being on, but obviously as a result of that, you know, we haven't had too much of rain either, and the National Hunt Racing has been suffering of late with the underfoot conditions. But yeah, we're well through winter now, Sam. What we got left, hopefully 7 weeks or so,
yep,
at the very most, and we'll be into spring before we know it. So yeah, we've done exceptionally well to lose our first meeting because of the cold snap on the 18th of Jan.
Indeed. We'll be discussing some of Saturday's races in just a moment, because the norm, I suppose, on this edition of the podcast, we'd be discussing the big Grade 1 of the weekend. That, unfortunately, isn't really much of a talking point, the Clarence House Chase, which is due off 3:35, of course, at Ascot. Altior is 1-8 for that. Fox Norton, 7-1. Diego de Chamil is 16-1. Just the three runners, with Underso being withdrawn on Thursday. Obviously, Altior has frightened many off, but Altior or no Altior, this has sadly become a bit of a recurring theme for this race, which was promoted to Grade 1 status in 2007. And since then, small fields and short price favourites have sadly been the norm. Just five runners last year when Underso win it. He won at 4-9. There were seven runners the year before that, winning at 1-2. We had a 1-2 favourite again in 2016 with five runners, just five runners in 2015, seven runners back in 2014 with a 5-4 favourite. And the list goes on and on and on. Prior to this being switched to a Grade 1, Craig, this was a genuinely really competitive handicap. But sadly, since the race has been upgraded, whilst we have had some good winners of the race, don't get me wrong, some good horses have won it, field sizes and short price favourites have sadly taken a little bit away from the race, and for a Grade 1 it's less than satisfactory.
Very much so. I agree with all your thoughts there, Sam, really. You look back, 2006 was the last running in a handicap, but it wasn't just a handicap this race, Sam. It attracted the top-notch Grade 1 chasers I mean, you just need to look back. Well, Chief, I think, won this off a mark of 176 in 2005. You know, he won the Arkell the previous year. Azerty Youp, you know, Queen Mother Champion Chase winner, finished second in the race. There was other Queen Mother Champion Chase winners contested this as a handicap. Viking Flagship, Martha's Son, Call Equiname. You know, it used to, as a handicap, it used to attract the good horses at this distance. You know, and the race has definitely lost its competitive edge since it moved to Grade One status. And obviously, a winner from the north, my favourite racehorse that played a big part, you know, with National Hunt Racing.
Right, okay.
Was Function Dream. You know, the old Mary Reevely can't have winners in the south. And that was what was when it was a handicap back in 2001, Sam. You know, she was a lovely, lovely mare. I actually skipped a day off work. In 2000.
Okay.
To go and watch her at Weatherby. Had no mobile phones in those days.
All right, so, yeah, of course.
15 miles down the road, into the red phone box, phoned up, and had a dodgy tummy that day.
Right, okay.
And Function Dream, Tony Ross, oh, she was fantastic. She won at Weatherby.
Yeah.
And she progressed lovely and went down south, and as it was then, the VC chase. And it was a really good, I mean, just look at the runners. You know, when you look back through some of the previous renewals of handicaps, there was really, really good races. And, you know, I think we need to look back at maybe switching this back to a graded handicap, and hopefully, you know, we can see some bigger fields and a more competitive race in the future.
I suppose one slight problem with potentially doing that is you don't really get the very best horses contesting handicaps anymore, even if they are, you know, graded handicaps. We probably wouldn't get Grade One horses in the field if it was switched back to a handicap. But nevertheless, it would be a more competitive spectacle, for albeit, you know, Altior Under So wouldn't turn up if this was reverted to a handicap.
Well, they did in the past, you know.
But do horses do that nowadays?
Well, it was the same. A lot of trainers that, you know, trained horses in those days, you know, like the Nicky Henderson, Paul Nichols, you know, they used to put the best horses in here. Mm. So, yeah, I think they probably would. I think, you know, it would be interesting. Obviously, times have changed. You know, I do agree in terms of that. And you, like you say, you know, what was the 2 mile horse of Gary Moore's that won at Chepstow for a mark? That was one of the rare occasions that you see a, you know, graded horse running in the handicap off a big weight.
Who was a champion chase winner himself, wasn't he, Cider Grouger?
Yes, and a Clarence House winner.
Yes, yeah. So maybe you're right. One final point on this as well was: do we have too many Grade Ones throughout the course of the year?
Not really, particularly at this time of year when you're a little bit short on Grade One events. You know, it's a tricky time of year, and I think it's a good time to have a Grade One. But if you're not attracting the runners, you know, and you've touched on the stats from that, Sam, then it needs looked at. It needs looked at for sure. And you know, you go back, like I said, it's really brightened up my day looking back at some of the previous renewals from 2006 back, and just look at the class of horse this race used to attract, and it was fabulous. It was a really, really good race.
Last word on this before we get stuck into some of the more competitive races, presuming you're not against Altior in this year's renewal, Craig.
I don't think we can be, really.
No. Okay, that's the, I say the feature race. It is the feature race of the day, despite that it may not be the best spectacle of the day. Altior 1-8, 7-1 for Fox Norton, and Diego de Charmille is in the betting at 16-1 for the Clarence House Chase. But there is good fare elsewhere on the card, and we're going to dive into a couple of those races now, beginning with the 1-15. This is a handicap chase over 2.25 miles for the amateur riders, and we've got a field of 6 at the time of recording. Down to take the chance in this one. Where do you stand in this race, Craig?
Yeah, it's an interesting little race. 6 runners. We'll start in terms of race card order and have a little run through each of them. Sam Wolfcatcher won at Musselburgh last time. It was only a 3-runner affair. Special Prep, who he beat on that occasion, has came out in frank deform since. He's gone up £5. I'd worry about the track and the stiffer fences for him. You know, Musselburgh was obviously a very good opportunity for him last time, and he took that. He's got an inexperienced jockey in Mr. Charlie Todd. With 11-12, he's not the biggest of horses, Wolfcatcher. He's an ex-flat horse, really, in terms of his breeding. And I think, you know, 11-12 round Ascot is going to prove too difficult a task for him. Risk and Roll had every chance on his last two starts. He's not a horse that you would really want to be with, where, you know, there was, you had to dig deep to pull it out in the closing stages, because he doesn't find a huge amount for pressure. Iku de la Novre of Philip Hobbs's jumped really well until the last three fences at Hayrock. There were tired leaps, and I think 2 miles is going to be his best trip. He's you know, come back a furlong here to 2-3, but, you know, I do think that, you know, he'll be a better horse over the minimum distance, the way he travels. You know, he pulled his jockey to the front, really, off the bend at Hayrock, and didn't quite see it out as strong as the front two. So I think he'll be better with a dropping trip. Unprofet, Ascot again would worry me with his jumping. You know, he's fell on two of his last five starts. He made mistakes at Ludlow. Now, Ludlow is a tricky track now in terms of the fences. Those mobile fences they installed are much harder than it used to be. So, you know, I'm left with a two at the bottom here. And the one that stands out was Blue Flight. You know, I was looking forward to his chasing debut at Wetherby last time. Haven't seen the horse and, you know, seen he's a huge, big, scopy, future chasing type. And he jumped really well at Wetherby. He got run out of it in the closing stages. You know, he looked the winner for quite some way in that contest. So I think the drop back from 3 miles to 2-3 will definitely be in his favour. And he would have to get the vote here, Blue Flight, in the 115. Okay. He stands out, really.
Yes. So. Blue Flight then for Nigel Twiston Davis and Mr. Zach Baker in the 115 race at Ascot. Then we go on to the 3 o'clock. This is a handicap chase over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. This looks a belting renewal of this race, Craig, particularly toward the top of the weights. There are plenty of horses in there who could make this a real spectacle.
Yeah, I was looking at this race, Sam, and my first thought was, well, you know, this is a 2 mile 5 handicap. This is what the Clarence House should be like over 2 miles.
Yeah, sure.
You know, we should be getting these horses with these type of ratings. And getting what we got, how many runners have we got in here, Sam?
13
runners.
Yeah.
13 runners. You know, so, yeah, well played to everyone here for what looks a stunning race. And you look back through previous renewals of this race, and previous course form has played a big part. Ascot is it's a stiff track still in terms of its fences. And Benatore is a bit of an Ascot specialist. They've changed tactics with him on his last two starts. He used to be a little bit of a free-going sort that used to run away really from the front, but they've held him up on his last two starts, and the penny really dropped last time. You know, he jumped well, he travelled well. The only negative in terms of his jumping early on, he was a little bit out to the left, but we know he jumps round Ascot well, and I think coming back in trip is going to be the key for him. I think he's a big player. Mr. Medic is the one that will get my vote here. He ran much better at Cheltenham in that December handicap than I thought. I thought he was an out-and-out right-handed chaser. He needed to go right-handed. But, you know, he wasn't certainly disgraced at Cheltenham behind Frodon last time. He did go up a chunk in the weights for beating Flying Angel here over this course and distance. But I still think, you know, 143 is a manageable mark for Mr. Medic. There is going to be competition for the lead. You know, he isn't going to get things all his own way at the head of affairs. There's a couple of other front runners. But, you know, the way he attacks his fences and the way he runs this course, I think he'll go very close, Mr. Medic.
Mr. Medic then in the 3 o'clock at Ascot goes with Craig's earlier selection, which was Blue Flight in the 115, also at Ascot. Craig, thank you very much for that, and enjoy it on Saturday.
Thank you, Sam.
And now ahead of all of Saturday's racing, we're going to get a word from the William Hill Trading Room with John Gibby in conversation with William Hill trader Damien Ainsworth.
Damien, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Good evening.
Good to have you with us once again to take a look at tomorrow's action from a trading perspective. And, well, we'll start off by sort of getting out, mentioning the big race of the day quality-wise, which I'm sure from a betting perspective will not be many people's highlights. But Altior runs in the Clarence House Chase, the 335 at Ascot, obviously a grade one. Altior looking to add another grade one to his CV today and maintain his unbeaten record over obstacles. He only faces two rivals, Fox Norton and Diego de Charmy, which is obviously disappointing from a betting perspective. But Altior, obviously the class act in the race for a case of, you know, stating the bleeding obvious. 8-1 on, Damien. Mm-hmm. And I understand there are going to be specials in terms of winning distances and that sort of thing available.
Yes, we're trying to make it as exciting as possible. So unfortunately, it's not going to be a great watch. But we're putting markets out on winning distance, So we're going to offer even money, Altior to win by more than 12 lengths tomorrow, 2-1 more than 18 lengths. So I think they're attractive offers. He's beaten both of his rivals by those kind of margins, actually. I think he beat Fox Norton a couple of seasons ago by 13 and Diego de Charmel last time by 19. So they fall nicely into those categories. So it's something to think about. He's also he's going for his 17th consecutive win, which puts him into the big books realm. He needs another 2 to match big books. So if you look on the website, we have some offers on how long his unbeaten run can last. So there's 6-5, I think, to beat Big Books' record of 18. So there's something to be interested in despite the paucity of opposition tomorrow.
Okay, well, we'll get into some races now that are a little bit more interesting from a betting perspective. Let's start at Ascot, stick with Ascot, and go through the races in time order here, Damien, that we're going to discuss. Starting with the 150, the Mare's Hurdle, over just shy of 3 miles. Magic of Flight is at the moment the 5-2 favourite for this Culture to Survive, the 3-1, also 3-1 if you say run. Jester Jet, 4-1. 12-1 Petticoat Tails and Shimmer's Rock is 40-1. So Jessica Harrington with the favourite for this in Magic of Light. I think that the Bartel Ra might have won this race last year.
Yep.
What is it looking like from a betting perspective?
It's some interesting racing tomorrow because although some of the fields are quite small, the feature of these races is the competitive nature and that there's a lot of closely matched horses on the book, including this race, the 150. Magical Light's returning to hurdles, having shown a lot of improvement over fences recently and has been well laid today. It's one of the big losers in today's trading, down to 5-2 now. Back over hurdles and on better ground, I think she might be worth taking on, possibly with the top horse, Jester Jet, possibly with Culture de Sevilla, but there's some closely matched horses there.
Okay, that is the 150. The 225 is decent handicap hurdle, the Holloway's handicap hurdle, grade 3 over just shy of 2.5 miles. Those days are gone at 11-4, the favourite. 4-1 Ballymoy, 7-9-2, 7-1 Better Get Along, Colonial Dreams is an 8-1, 9-1 New Key, and 14-1 Bar. So those days are gone. A last time out winner at Wetherby. And it's another competitive contest, this one. You alluded to the fact that we've got a decent number of graded contests that are a little bit more competitive, other than obviously the Clarence House. How does this one look?
This is a fascinating race. Seddon's been very popular. It's been a bit of a steamer this week. 8-1 into about 9-2. Ballymoy, as solid a horse as you can get at the top of the weights. The fascinating one is Those Days Are Gone. If you look at the trainer, Charlie Burns, he's somebody who bookies fear.
Knows the time of day, doesn't he?
Yeah, he was a steamer last week, won at Wetherby, in very good style, and I think the handicap has been quite lenient, only up £9. Interestingly, there's been no support for him all week. I think you see firms pushing him out from 9-4 to 11-4. And it's one that it could, if you watch the market half an hour, 15, 20 minutes before the race, it could be one who's very well supported and win easily. It's up in the air, this one, I think.
Is that the one that they're coming for at this stage as opposed to any of the bigger prices?
At the moment, Ballymoy is very popular. I think Those Days Are Gone is one to watch just before the race. I think we might hold the price there and you could see him tumble just before the race. But at the moment, Ballymoy is popular.
OK, decent handicap chase coming up at 3 o'clock at Ascot, over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. Benatar, who I know has been very frustrating for a number of shrewd punters so far this season, at 9-2. Heads to betting, Bellameda picked on, and 13-2, 7-1 Mr. Whitaker. Jerry's back, 15-2. It's an 8-1 for Happy Diva, and Mr. Medic's Surname, 9-1 and 14-1 Bar. I think for me, Damien, we've got a lot of horses here who have sort of almost reached the heights of being top class over the past 18 months or so and have just missed out or have just come up short of what we wanted them to be. I'm thinking of Benatar, Surname, Mr. Whitaker, horses like that. Mm-hmm. It is an intriguing contest.
It is, definitely. Benatar, and Gary Moore loves the horse, and he said on many occasions he thinks it's a top-class animal. So off 149, again, they're backing him as if he's better than that. Mr. Whitaker is a horse, again, that's been mentioned in the top bracket, and we've been laying for the odd Cheltenham event. So off 152 is one that'll have to run a big race. The very interesting one in the race for me is Bellamy de Picton's. Venetia Williams in cracking form. The horse is on a very nice mark based on his form from a year or more ago. And the thing about Venetia Williams is she can bring horses back from long absences to run to their very best. And that has been interesting. That's been well backed. 10 to 1 yesterday into 13 to 2, and that's shortening up all the time. So that could go off shorter tomorrow.
I suppose never mind when you've got a yard that do sometimes win first time back after an absence. Just seeing that money purely coming after the time off the track has to be a sign in itself.
Yes, sign of confidence, a sign that some people think that it's going to be as good or if not better than ever.
Okay, so that's the Ascot card. We've also got good quality action at Haydock, as long as it survives its morning inspection. We'll go through the races again in time order here. The 205 is the Supreme Trial, and it's over just shy of 2 miles, a Grade 2 contest. Mr. Fisher, the odds on favourite for Nicky Henderson and James Bowen at 5-6, 9-4 Bright Forecast. Esperit de Lives are 9-1 with Idegaard, also 9-1. 18's Maritello, and Tricks and Tails is the 100-1 outsider of the field. Is the odds on favourite the one it's all about here?
Yes, there's some people with some very nice prices about Mr. Fisher earlier in the week. When Henderson had both Mr. Fisher and Angel's Breath entered in the race, Angel's Breath was put in as a short price favourite, and Mr. Fisher we had at 4-1. I think other firms as big as 6. Now, as you can see, his odds on. So some people got some very nice value there. The opposition's not particularly strong tomorrow, and so Mr. Fisher should win. He won a very good race over Christmas, beat 4 very highly rated horses. So he's a tough task to get him beaten. Bright Forecast, the main danger. He's 2 from 2 over hurdles, but his form doesn't quite match up to the level of Mr. Fisher, and I'd be surprised if Mr. Fisher was beaten tomorrow.
Okay, the 240 at Haydock, the new one hurdle, the champion hurdle trial as it's previously known. Another Grade 2, it's over the same course and distance. In fact, Silver Streak at 2-1, the favourite for Evan Williams and Adam Wedgmore. Head and 3-130 Western Rider. Global Citizen 4-1 and Ping Shu 14-1. I would say that for me personally, and I would include Ping Shu in this, you could probably give a chance to any of these.
It's as I was saying before, it's a race, small field, with a lot of very closely matched horses competing. So, and similar to the previous race, Henderson had Brain Power, which was the favourite, not running. So the value has been taken. Silver Street was well backed earlier in the week at 100-30 into 2-1. I think they were backing him because Evan Williams has been talking the animal up, and also he was a definite runner, whereas some of the others weren't. So I think the price is short enough now. I think he'll drift tomorrow because there is definite opposition there. At the prices, I like Global Citizen. He's not quite been able to match it with the very best, but he's got very little to find with the rest of these. And I think there is still some potential in the horse. If he learns to settle, he's been running a bit free in his races. I think he's potentially high-class animal, and at the prices, he's the value. And you mentioned Ping Shu, but if you go back a couple of years, his form was very, very good in novice hurdles. And he would be interesting at a big price after a failed chase campaign returning to hurdles.
Okay, the 3:15 at Haydock, final race to touch upon here, the Peter Marsh, and we've got Otago Trails, the 11-2 favourite right now. 6-1 Robin Swerve to Klondike, then 13-2 7-1 Ballydine, Captain Redbeard 7-1, 8 for Reds, Infantry and Wakanda, 9-1 Bally Arthur, 12-1 for the former Grand National winner, 1 for Arthur, and 16-1 Bar. It's a race we often see horses go from to then run in the Grand National, Damien. Don't know what effect, if any, it's going to have on the race this year, but there's a betting heat in itself. How's it looking ahead of tomorrow?
Disappointingly, Valtor's come out of the race. That was a extremely interesting runner after his UK debut performance, so it's a shame he's come out. You've still got some very interesting horses in there. 1 for Arthur, of course, the national winner from the season before last. I think this will be a sighter for the national. I think he's way too high in the handicap at the moment in conventional company. You've got the likes of Declan Dyke, who in the future may become a serious Grand National contender, although tomorrow I think the ground will be on the fast side for him. The one we have been laying in this race is another Venetia Williams animal, Otago Trail. 10-1 yesterday, now as short as 11-2. Forgive him, forgive his last run, and he's well treated. I like the bottom horse, Balladine. Unfortunately, he's £5 out of the weights, but still he's lightly raced and runs very well when making a quick return after his previous runs. I think he'll go well, Balladine.
All the betting available on Saturday's action on the William Hill website or on the app and in our retail shops as well. So make sure you get involved in all of that. And you can hear all of Saturday's racing here on Racing Radio. Damien, as always, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Sean.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.